This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions First Baptist Church of Algiers, formerly in New Orleans. Now we relocated up to Walker, Louisiana, about an hour drive from New Orleans, out in the country, so to speak, small town of Walker, where the Trailblazer was born and raised on the strawberry patch here and come up so green the geese followed me around. But the Lord saved me and gave me grace to turn to Him, and He called me as a pastor of this ministry here several years ago and gave me this little broadcast, the Old Trailblazer, which Pastor Shelton originated back there early years ago in the 50s. But I'm happy to be with you folks. We bring you these studies on the grand aim of Satan under the general theme, demon possession, demon worship, false gods and all those things. And we come down to this section, the grand aim of Satan. What is his aim? Listen now. Jehovah executed judgment upon all the gods of Egypt. They were living beings. They were nothing more than demon spirits. And demon spirits are behind every idol. Now, you lay down everything there. Maybe you're up drinking coffee, sitting on the front porch. Would you just listen? Relax there for a few minutes. You may be there on your old 18-wheeler on the highway, I-95, going up north, or coming down south. And maybe way out there on I-5, Interstate 5 in California. Isn't that a beautiful drive? My friend, if you are listening to me, would you do that? If you have time, pull off over there to Wayside Station and just listen to Old Trailblazer. This great truth is brought out in the following verses. Leviticus 17:7. And they shall no more offer their sacrifices unto devils or demons after whom they have gone a-whoring. Then in Deuteronomy 32:17, we find these words. They sacrificed unto demons, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whose your fathers feared not. Then in 2 Chronicles 11:15, talking about Jeroboam, it is said he ordained him priest for the high places and for the demons and for the calves which he had made. This reveals the fact that Jeroboam had left the worship of Jehovah and went whoring after demons through idol worship. Now let me stop and make this statement. We're talking about Satan, the prince and the power of the air, the highest created being that ever was created in the heavens. He led the worship of the angels there in to the throne of grace. But sin was found in him, and he was cast out. And he took a third of the angels with him. They agreed with him. You wonder why folks agree with Satan? Even the angels of heaven, those created beings. But let me give you a truth that I've come across lately. Satan and that one-third of his angels never will be granted repentance. You, my friend, you and I, sinners by birth and sinners by choice and sinners by God's decree, we have the opportunity to repent and turn to the Lord and find grace in His eyes, like Noah. The scripture says Noah found grace. Did you know Noah was a terrible person? He was. He was a terrible old boy. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Abraham was a heathen. He was not a Jew. The Lord made him a Jew. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Let me give you one of the most blessed scriptures that I've ever read, and I put it on my desk. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Do you know what Satan's purpose is? To hide the truth, to keep the truth from being told, to keep the Bibles being watered down. Now we have this NIV Bible, a trashy Bible. We have the woman's Bible. We have the African-American women's Bible. We have a humpteen dozen Bibles. We don't sell anything in our bookstore except the King James Version, my friend. We get fussed at about it, but we got a little pamphlet here. If you write me, I'll send it to you, showing you the discrepancies, the omissions, the errors in the NIV Bible. You write me, I'll send it to you, free and postpaid. But my friend, Satan's aim is to keep you and me blinded to our sinful condition, to entrap us into demon and devil worship, and to do all. That's his aim, my friend. Listen, in Psalms 106, we find these words, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and daughters unto demons. Oh, my friend, go back and read of all of those demons and how they sacrificed their young children to Moloch, I believe it was. Now, let's turn to the New Testament and examine a couple of scriptures there found in 1 Corinthians 8, verses 4 and 6. As concerning, therefore, the eating those things that are offered in sacrifices unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is none other God but one. For though they are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be many, gods many, and lords many, but to us there is but one God, God the Father, of whom all things, listen, of whom are all things, and we in him. Now, the word idol signifies a creation of the fancy and idea of the mind. In other words, an idol is an image in the mind, an idea. My friend, I have been exposed to those things throughout my life. I've mentioned them once or twice to you that I have a very dear friend whom I met out on the construction work years ago, and we would sit and eat our lunch together. He was a carpenter. And he told me he was very religious, and I believed demon-possessed to the nth degree. You couldn't look up on him and see that. No, you had to listen. But he told me how the Lord saved him, according to his own testimony. He said one morning he was back in the woods fishing on a creek, a little creek on his place. And he said he looked up the stream. The water was slowly flowing down the stream. And he looked upstream, and there came a holy Bible floating down the stream on top of the water. And he took his fishing pole and fished it out of the water, and it was not even wet. It was completely dry, and it was open to a certain verse. And he told me what that verse was, and I've forgotten it over the years. And he attributed his salvation to that Bible floating on top of the water. He said it was an omen. He said it was a sign. He said it was something that the Lord had provided especially for him. And in the verse of Scripture that the Lord had the Bible open to, he credited that with his salvation. Now, my friend, that man, demon-possessed to the nth degree. Satan had him in complete control. Now, he was not a violent man. He was a kind man. He was a gentle man. But he would tell you that in a heartbeat, how the Lord saved him. Oh, my friend, listen. The word idol signifies a creation. See, that was a creation, an idol. That thing was a creation. In other words, an idol is an image in the mind. This may be expressed in an image of a god or a faith image of the mind. That idol of the mind may be carved in wood or stone. Listen, it is your concept of deity of your God. The originator of this idol is a demon spirit. No doubt a demon spirit had placed, I believe the man. I believed him in totality. Listen, so back of your idol, whatever it may be, whether it's an idea or whether it's a faith image, whether it's carved in wood or stone, or whether it's a cross around your neck, or it's a demon god. Whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's faith healing, whether, my friend, listen, it's the God you worship and the God you pray to. It's a false god. Oh, listen, but it's the God that has deluded you and deceived you. One of the things that we mentioned in starting this series of messages on demon spirit was that Satan has this world, the religious world, basically deceived, blinded by the God of this world, blinded to the fact that man is a sinner, blinded to the fact that you are a sinner, and blinded to the fact that Christ died for sinners. Oh, I pray to God, you said. Listen, no, it's a demon. Every one of you who wear a cross around your neck are worshiping a demon god. Oh, my friend, a demon god. It is. I went to a funeral one day, conducted a funeral for a man whom I known. His wife asked me to do this. And we waited in the lobby at the funeral home for her to get there. She was a little late. And when we went into the viewing room, the casket was, he was all laid out there in the casket. And the family and myself and several other persons that were with me there from the church walked in the room where the casket was. And she walked up there to take a look. She had not seen her husband after he had been dressed and readied for burial. And in his hand, there was a brass cross about 6 or 8 inches long with a figure on it hanging from the cross. And she was a gracious lady. And she took that thing and she spoke to him, said, "What you doing here?" And she threw him in the trash. I said, "Oh, my friend, what grace to know that that man, that woman, had grace enough to know that that had nothing to do with salvation." No, no. And then I've heard of others who told me that some of their family would ask them to go view a new Madonna or a new Mother Mary that they had gotten to put in their yard. Oh, my friend, those things. There's a world out there that's deceived, a world of folks that are deceived into thinking all of these crosses made of stone and crosses made of brass and iron and jeweled. I've seen some of them were so jeweled. And then when I go to a funeral, and I see these prayer beads entwined in the hands and fingers of a friend of mine, a loved one of mine, I just bow my head and say, "Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy." Deceived up until death, they put much emphasis on those things. But behind it is a demon spirit, my friend. Now, I know that folks disagree with that, and I know that folks will call me and cuss me. I know all of those things. Like I told you, I conducted a funeral for a woman in New Orleans who was raised in a Catholic orphanage, and when she died, she'd been going to our church for many years. When she died, some of the nuns there that knew her came to the service. And during the services I was conducting, I never tried to hurt anybody's feeling, but I just made the statement the Lord laid on my heart that there's no such a thing as purgatory. Oh, my friend, those nuns got up and walked out. They got up and stalked out. Because it offended them, my friend. But I'll guarantee you this. I'll stake my eternal destiny on it. There's no such a thing as purgatory. There's no such a thing as praying you out of purgatory. No matter how many candles you burn, how many novenas you say, there's no such a thing. Once your eyes close in death, my friend, God's breath leaves you. You're sealed for hell if you're not saved. Now, my friend, I say that with all the pathos of my soul. It's hard for me to say those things, but I'm being true to your soul, whether you believe it or not. Oh, my friend, I wish I could encourage you to seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him while he may be found, my friend. The Bible says those that seek him diligently will find him. So I asked you to do that. Take your Bible and read it and seek the Lord. Go there to those precious promises where he says, "I'm not willing that any should perish." He said, "How often would I have gathered you together as a hen doth gather her chicks, and ye would not?" What a sad day, my friend. We're going to get back in the study in our next time, and I would ask you to write me. Let me hear from you. You may not agree with what I say. Write me and tell me. Don't cuss at me, and I'll be glad to hear from you. Remember, the old trailblazer loves you. The old trailblazer is just doing what the Lord wants him to do, and you pray for me. I make many mistakes. I butcher up the King's English. But you pray for me. I'm not near about perfect. But you know, one day I'll be perfect. This is the old Trailblazer. Remember my mailing address. Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana. Zip code is 70785. And my website, radiomissions.org. Goodbye and God bless you.